Say, I am
what it says I am.
Now boldly say, I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith cometh by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
All right. Dual text, we'll get started in. So I want you to go with me to Philippians 4 and 13 and 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. Philippians 4 and 13 and 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. And we're in a series entitled, I Know I Can. Everybody say, I Know I Can. All right, I want to jump right into it. I have a lot to share with you in just a little bit of time. So Philippians 4 and 13, I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, I have strength for all things. KJV says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And so, so the Amplified just gives a little bit more clarity. It says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. So how many know it's Christ that empowers us, right? The writer says, I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I love this last part. He says, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. And so when I've got Christ living on the inside of me, I realize that he is the one that infuses me with power. He is the one that gives me strength. And the writer says, I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. In other words, he's more than enough. So as long as I have him on the inside, he's more than enough, no matter what the situation is, no matter what the obstacle is, no matter what the trouble is, no matter what the trial is, as long as Christ is on the inside, how many know he's more than enough? All right, now when we begin to talk about faith, and we said, of course, that faith is the most important subject that a believer needs to learn after getting saved, that once I've given my life to Christ, we know salvation is the most important subject, but after I've given my life to Christ, faith is the most important subject that a believer needs to learn, because Romans 1 and 17 teaches us that the just shall live by faith. And so the writer also teaches us that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we live by faith and we win by faith. Everybody say, we live by faith and we win by faith. All right. And so and that's why it's important to learn faith and so that you can operate in it and you can see results in life. In life, you will be ruled. If you're taking notes, write this down. In life, you will be ruled either by external circumstances or eternal concepts. In life, you will be ruled by either external circumstances or eternal concepts. External circumstances is by what you see the sense realm. And so, if you're here on Sunday, we did the whole illustration with the chairs, and we did that there's a natural physical world that I can see, and there's a spiritual world that I cannot see. And the spiritual world is more real than the natural world, because the natural world is dependent on the spiritual world, because the natural world came out of the spirit. Isn't that right? All right. And so that's the external circumstance. You're either going to be ruled by that, or you're going to be ruled by eternal concepts. Everybody say eternal concepts. And this is by the revelation you have of the word of God. By the revelation that you have of the word of God. Go with me to 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. There it is up on the screen. If you have it, say, I have it. All right. It says, while we look. Come on, class. Y'all awake? Everybody okay? All right. Here we go. What is? Oh, better than ever. Okay. Good answer. All right, so I feel like TDJ, let's read together. I don't want to read together, though. I'm going to read, and you just hit the certain points, all right? Okay, while we look, there you go, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The writer says, for the things which are seen are temporal, they're temporary, they're subject to change. But the things which are not seen, which are in the spirit realm, are eternal. And so the writer is teaching us, Paul is teaching, really writing to the church at Corinth, and he's really teaching them, which is teaching us, to stay focused on what really matters. Everybody repeat after me, say, what really matters has not changed. And this is a phrase that you need to learn in your life. Because a lot of times something will happen. Something could be devastating. Something could be shocking. And you've got to understand in life, even though something has taken you by surprise, it has not taken God by surprise. And God already knows what he's going to do in your situation. So even though you didn't see it coming, God did. Does that make sense? And that's good to know. You got it? I'd rather have him have the right you know, line of sight than me have the right line of sight, because he can do something even when I can't do something, right? And so even though something may have taken you by surprise, it has not taken God by surprise. God already knows what he's going to do in your life and in your situation. And so this is a phrase that we always say, that what really matters has not changed. What has not changed is the word of God. And the Bible teaches us in the word of God in 2 Corinthians 2:14 that he always calls me to triumph and he always calls me to win in Christ. And so as long as I'm doing it God's way, I'm going to get God results. But how many know we got to do it God's way? You got it? You know, and sometimes people want to take shortcuts, you know, and those kind of things. That shortcuts is not God's way. Everything about God is a process. Things don't happen overnight, but they happen over time. That is why the writer says, in patience possess ye your soul. If you're going to get the gold watch, so to speak, in life, how many know you're going to have to go through some things? So the writer says that we have to endure hardship as a good soldier. And so in this lesson on tonight, I want to talk to you for a little bit just about overcoming obstacles, because we all have challenges, we all have obstacles, we all have things that we face, we all have things that we come up against, and how many know that's just natural? That's part of the Christian experience, right? And so, matter of fact, Psalms 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but thank God it doesn't stop there. It says, but the Lord will deliver us out of how many of them? Out of all of them. So the Bible lets me know, as a believer, I'm going to go through some things. As a believer, there's going to be some trial. As a believer, there's going to be some situations that I go through. The Bible says, not few, but many are the afflictions of the righteous. But I'm so glad that he makes a covenant and he makes a promise that no matter what comes, that no matter what goes, that he's not going to leave me, he's not going to forsake me, that he's going to deliver me out of all of them. That's a good place to clap right there. All right, go with me to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in the 13th verse. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in the 13th verse. I'll be reading in the Message translation. So you have to understand, obstacles are common to the believer, all right? Obstacles are common to the believer. And remember, even though it took you by surprise, it didn't take God by surprise. You got it? So how many know when tragedy happens, God is still on the throne, right? And as long as God is still on the throne, we don't have a problem he can't solve. We don't have a situation he can't fix. We don't have a sickness that he's not already healed. He says, I am that I am. And so when challenges come, when obstacles come, when trials come, it is at that point that you have to learn how to maximize the word that you've heard. Because we've been hearing the word, and we've been hearing the word, and we've been hearing the word, but the writer teaches us that we just can't be a hearer of the word, but we have to be a doer of the word also. And so that is why we need the word of God. That is why we need to understand faith and how to apply it in our lives, so that way, no matter what situation comes or no what situation goes, we can be victorious. Isn't that right? All right, 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Watch what it says. It says, no test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others has had to face. In other words, the writer is saying that you are not the first person that's ever went through this. And that's a good thing. You got it. The reason that's a good thing is because if other people have went through it and gotten through it, that means you can go through it and get through it. Isn't that right? I love this next part. He says, all you need to remember, and I love this part, like this next part is the thing that you have to remember. He says, all you need to remember is that God will never let you down. I don't know about you, but that's shouting scripture right there. That no matter what comes, no matter what goes, that God is never going to let me down. See, this is what you have to understand. God is never going to let me down. So, but Pastor, you don't know the situation. It don't matter. God's never going to let you down. But no, you don't understand the trial. It doesn't matter. God is never going to let you down. Pastor, I'm the one that messed up. I got myself in this situation. It doesn't matter. His grace is sufficient. He is never, ever going to let you down. He's never going to let you down. Aren't you glad that even when you make a mistake and it's your mistake, that God is still there to clean it up and help you get out of it? I don't know about you, but I'm real glad about that, because I made some mistakes in life. You got it. And if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, there's no telling where I'd be. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so he says, all you need to remember is that God will never let you down. That's the thing I love about grace. See, the thing about grace is you can't do anything good enough to deserve it, but you can't do anything bad enough to get rid of it. That's what makes it grace. You got it? And so, since I didn't do anything, watch this, to receive it, I can't do anything to lose it. Does that make sense? Okay, all right. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. And so the phrase that I've coined out of that last part is that if I'm going through it, I can handle it. Everybody say, if I'm going through it, I can handle it. Yeah, all right. If I'm going through it, I can handle it, all right? I'm not going to make you talk to your neighbor all night, but you probably need to look at your neighbor and just tell them, if you're going through it, you can handle it. Yeah, they need some encouragement. If you are going through it, you can. How many know we all need some encouragement from time to time? Even though those of us that are walking by faith, we know the word, we know how to spit it out, we still need encouragement. Isn't that right? Yeah. Isn't that even what Jesus told Peter? When you're strengthened, he said, go encourage your brothers. You got it? And, you know, and go strengthen your brother. Encourage your brother. And so everybody needs somebody in their life that's going to be an encouragement. And so, you know, so that's why it's important that you tell your neighbor, hey, if you're going through it, you can handle it. All right? Now, remember what I've already taught you. Faith is the ability to accept God's word as fact, even though I don't have any sense realm evidence. We've already talked about biblical believing. Remember, I told you already know how to believe God's way. Because I asked you, have you ever, you know, do you believe in God? You raise your hand. I said, you ever see him? You put your hand down. Said, no. I said, do you believe in heaven? You believe you're going there because you're, you know, saved? You said, yes. You know, I said, how many believe in heaven? You raise your hand. I said, how many ever been there? You know, you put your hand down. Y'all remember that. I showed you that you put your trust in a God that you've never seen to take you to a place that you've never been. So it shows that you already know how to believe God's way. And so just like you believe for salvation that way, you believe for healing, you believe for your children, you believe for your marriage, you believe for your finances, you believe for everything the same way. Does that make sense? You believe it the same way. Remember, we went to Romans 10 and 9. We said faith is a function of the human spirit and not the head. We were never designed or instructed to believe with our head. We were instructed to believe with our heart. So we went all the way back to Romans 10 and 9. That says, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart. Well, that's for salvation, but that's not only for salvation, that's healing too. For healing, I got to confess with my mouth and believe in my heart. For a better marriage, I got to confess with my mouth and believe in my heart. For my children, I got to confess with my mouth and believe in my heart. And so you know how to believe the same way. And so the enemy really can't fool you once you've learned faith, but he can distract you. You got it? He can't fool you, but he can distract you. And so in times of distraction, when you realize that I'm in a situation and I'm getting distracted, then that's simply where you just have to refocus. Everybody say, I must refocus. Yeah, I must refocus. I must refocus. Let me give you a couple of these. I must refocus, number one, when there are negative influences pulling on me. When there are negative influences pulling on me. How do you say this nicely? Let me just say it. Everybody around you is not good for you. That's just the bottom line. I'm not being mean when I say that. Everybody around you is not necessarily good for you. You got it? There are people that connect to you for all kinds of reasons. And, you know, and so I want people to connect to me that are going to make me better, you got it, and not make me worse. I want people that are going to connect with me that are going to push me further in faith and not pull me away from faith. I want people that are connected to me, you got it. I want to be around other guys that love their wives. I want to be around guys that don't love their wives. Does that make sense? Now, if there's some guys that don't love their wives, they might need to be around me. You got it. And there's people in my life that I understand why they're in my life. You got it? There's some people that are in my life that I understand that the reason why they're in my life is because I'm helping them. You got it? See, you know, in your circle, if you know everything in your circle, then your circle's too small. See, in my circle, there's people that I look up to and I glean from, but there's also people that I'm helping. You got it? And so in your circle, if you know everything in your circle, then your circle's too small. Does that make sense? All right. And so I must refocus when there are negative influences pulling on me. Number two, I must refocus when thoughts of lack and sickness are dominating my thoughts. When thoughts of lack and sickness are dominating my thoughts. The enemy is working overtime, shooting the fiery darts. You got it. And this thought's coming, and that thought's coming, and that thought's coming. And then that's when I must refocus. When I must refocus when, you know, I'm finding myself having to work overtime to cast down every imagination and every high thing and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And I must refocus, number three, when I'm bombarded with indoctrination contrary to the Word of God. You're on the job, and there's somebody on the job that's an atheist. They don't believe in God. And they want to spend all your lunch telling you why there is no God. Don't waste your time. You got it? Because at the end you're going to be mad because you didn't get anything to eat. Right? Now, I do believe that there's times and places when I witness to those people. You got it? And I do believe that the Holy Spirit will open the door of people's hearts, unbelievers, so I can speak to them. But watch this. That's when they're ready. Right? And so when I see somebody like that, I begin to pray for that person. And I say, Father, soften their heart. You got it? Open their eyes. Take the blinders off. You got it? But if they always around me, they just always want to fuss about there ain't no God. You know, or healing is not for today. Or there is no Holy Spirit. I am not going to fuss with you. A guy inboxed me, and I don't want to say too much. I know he's not in here. Better not be in here. But anyways, a guy inboxed me, and I guess he must have listened to one of my podcasts, and he was going off on me. And I almost wanted to respond, well, hello to you too, you know. But I was teaching heresy and, you know, all this crazy stuff, and, you know, that I'm lying to the people about tithing, and I'm stealing the folks' money, and healing is not for today. You can't tell me you've ever seen somebody actually healed. Yes, I can. I've seen more miracles in my life by the time I was probably 12 than most people have seen in their lifetime, because my father, that is just the area, that's just the gifting that God has blessed him with. He's strong in the area of healing and deliverance and miracles and that kind of thing. And so, you know, so just coming up, we'd be under tent revivals and we'd see all, we have seen the lame walk, we've seen the blind see, we've seen we've seen the deaf hear. You got it? I got to make sure I'm right, you know. We really have seen it all. And this is what I try to tell people. So people say, well, what, Pastor, what did you do? Nothing. Well, you didn't respond? No. The Bible tells me not to. It does. It does. Yes, it does. The Bible tells me to avoid those kind of people because they want to fight. You know, and I'm the wrong one. No, I'm not going to fight with you. No. You got it? That kind of sounds funny for me saying I'm the wrong one to fight on. The Lord is doing a work in me. Yes, he is. My father taught me something years ago. A man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. You can't tell me tithing doesn't work because I've been working it since a little boy and I've seen what God's done in my life. You can't tell me that healing doesn't work because I've seen too many people get healed. You understand what I'm saying? So you can't tell me that it doesn't work. Everybody say it works. All right. We've seen it in our own. We've seen it in our own church. We've seen people healed of cancer in this church. We've seen people come in wheelchair. Is Margaret here tonight? Wave at me. Okay. No problem if she's not. But we've seen people come in. Margaret came in rolling in the wheelchair. I had no idea who she was. Didn't know anything about her. And the Lord says, tell her she's going to walk again. I'm like, God, you better be right. You know, I ain't going to lie. I was. I had a talk with God. I was like, I got a pretty good reputation in the city. My reputation on the line. Now, I know that was wrong, but I'm very transparent. You got it? I'm very transparent. But I did let them know. Now, of course, I know how to hear the voice of God. You got it? So if I tell you God said something, God said it. I don't play that. That's why you notice that every Sunday you come, you don't always hear me saying, God said, God said, God said. No. If Pastor said, the Lord spoke to me, he said this, you can mark it down. You go, you got it. Like my dad, you say, write it down and send it home to mama because it's going to happen. My spiritual father says that if I tell you, because he was talking about how he hears from God, he says, if I tell you that a chicken dips snuff, you need to look under his wing for the can. Romans 16 and 17. Y'all get anything out of this? Romans 16 and 17. But I tell you what, I've never heard my man of God say God said something that didn't come to pass. Romans 16 and 17, if you're there, say I'm there. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and do what?
Avoid.
I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to fight you. You know, if, you know, I've known people that I love that, you know, got sick and they accepted it as God's will. Now, they were saved. You got it? And watch this. And they passed away and they went to heaven. But I just submit to you that they went to heaven too early. You got it? And so 2 Timothy 2 and 23 in the Amplified. 2 Timothy 2 and 23 in the Amplified. Now, this is the Bible we're reading, right? We're not getting this from a book somewhere. We didn't hear somebody say it. This is in the Word of God. He says, but foolish and unlearned questions do what?
Avoid
knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servants of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. In meekness, instructing those that oppose himself, if God peradventure, and we pray he does, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. You have to understand, when somebody is walking in unbelief, that's just a trick of the enemy. That's the bottom line. When somebody's walking in unbelief, that's just a trick of the enemy. Satan has blinded their eyes. And that's why you have to pray for them, you got it, that the blinders would be removed, that their heart would be softened, watch this, to hear from God. And when I'm trying to talk to people, I don't even say, God, let their heart be soft that they'll hear from me. No, mm-mm. Their heart needs to be soft that they'll hear from God. So that way, whenever the door does open and they do talk to me, although it's my natural voice, I believe that it's whatever God wants me to say. He's speaking through me to them. Does that make sense? All right. And so we understand that we must avoid them. All right. So I can overcome. So we talked about refocusing when it comes to obstacles. Now, if I'm going to overcome in these obstacles, there's several things that I must be. The first thing I must be is purpose-driven. Everybody say purpose-driven. All right? So the first thing I've got to be is purpose-driven. See, I understand that the Word of God is infallible. How many believe it's infallible? How many believe it's never changing? How many believe it's always right? How many believe it's truth? John 17 and 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You got it? So if I can find it in the Word of God, it's true. And so I must, so if I'm going to overcome an obstacle, if there's something going on in my life, I have to be very purpose-driven. I know that God has a specific purpose for me. He has a specific plan for me. I'm not going to let anybody talk me out of what God wants to do in my life, regardless of what I'm going through. He knows the thoughts that he thinks toward me, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give me an expected end. Even if I'm the one that messed up, God still has an incredible plan for my life. So I'm always purpose-driven. God, what do you want to do through me? How do you want to speak through me? Whose life can I impact today? And I'm always impacting people's lives in an amazing way. If you would just take time in your day when you're at the grocery store and just spend 2 or 3 minutes just speaking to somebody. You got it? And when you ask them how they're doing, just say it, but mean what you say. If it's one thing that bothers me, people ask you how you're doing, they don't really mean it. If I ask you how you're doing, I really want to know how you're doing. Does that make sense? You know, and so I'm very purpose driven. So I know that I'm not here by accident. I know that I'm here on purpose. I know that I'm not, you know, like I'm not on this earth by happenstance. You got it? Boom, I just didn't show up. You understand what I'm saying? You know, God knew I was going to be here. Matter of fact, he told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, you know, I knew you and I had already ordained you to be a prophet. So God already knew you were going to be here. He ordained you to be here. Well, Pastor, I'm the sixth child. And my mom and daddy said they weren't planning for me, but God was. You are not the product of your parents' passion. You are the product of the purposes of God.
God knew you would be here, and he has a specific plan for your life, and that is why the enemy tries to work overtime to steal the word from you so you won't move forward in faith, so you can make whatever God wants to happen, happen in your life. And that's why the writer says we can't be ignorant concerning Satan's devices. I know who I am. Who are you? I am who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. I'm not sick, but I'm healed. I'm not poor, but I'm rich. I'm not defeated, but I have the victory. I'm not alone, but I have a friend. I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. I'm the object of his affection. You understand what I'm saying? I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. I've been seated in heavenly places, and there's got to come a time in your life where nobody has to tell you who you are. And it comes a time in your life, you got to know who you are for yourself. Does that make sense? Now say, I know who I am. All right, so number one, if we're going to overcome, I must be purpose-driven. Number two, I must be principle-driven. I must be principle-driven. I march by principle and not by emotions. Too many people march by emotions, and that's why they always make bad mistake after bad mistake after bad mistake after bad mistake, and then every time they make a bad mistake, they put a spiritual twist on it like God changed his mind. You got it. Well, God told me to do this, but the Lord is speaking differently. Okay, no problem. Now you start doing it. God told me to do this, but the Lord is speaking differently. God don't change his mind. You know, God's not schizophrenic. You understand what I'm saying? God is not bipolar. You understand what I'm saying? God, you got it. You know, God knows exactly what he's doing. Does that make sense? All right. And so I must be principle driven. In being principle driven, hear me now. One of the keys of being principle driven is I understand that the power is in the word. Everybody say the power is in the word. Luke 1:37, I think it's in the Amplified. It says, for with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. So that writer teaches me that not only does that God give me his power, but he also, not only does God give me his word, but he backs it up with his power to perform it. So in your life, when you believe a thing, you got to understand, the writer says, I believe, therefore I speak. The moment that you really believe it in your heart and you speak it out of your mouth, God will back that word up because it's not your word, it's his word. He backs it up with his power to perform whatever you said in his word. Does that make sense? All right. So I must be purpose-driven. I must be principle-driven. And here's a real key one, class. I must be patience-driven. Everybody say patience-driven. Patience-driven. All right. Now, don't look at your neighbor, but just say slow down. Slow down. Yeah. You know, we're always so fast. You know, anybody besides me in the room ever moved ahead of God? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I you know, there's times I got so excited. Woo! I look back. God's still back there. I'm like, come on, God. He's like, no, I ain't tell you to do that. I ain't you on your own, buddy. I'm on my own until I come to the realization that I need to repent. Because now God always helps you. Y'all know that, right? But it's not to the point where I humble myself and say, God, I'm sorry. I was trying to do this on my own ability, on my own will, in my own emotions, out of my own flesh. And that is why we have to have patience. We must be patience-driven. We must let patience have her perfect work. The writer says, in due season, I will reap if I just don't quit. But the key, you got it, is making sure that I move in my due season, making sure that I follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Man, I've just been praying all day today. It's like a spirit of prayer has just been on me. Now, when I say praying all day, I wasn't in my, you know, in my prayer closet praying because, you know, I got too much to do to be in a prayer closet praying all day. Isn't that right? Yeah. But everywhere I've gone, I've been here. I've been doing different things. I'm getting different quotes because we're doing some more things at Max Place. I'm just making all kind of things happen. But just the spirit of prayer has been on me. And then as I was praying, and I began to pray in the spirit, and then I began to pray, you know, in the natural. I said, Father, I thank you that I hear your voice and your voice only. I hear your voice and your voice only. I do not hear a voice of a stranger. I don't heed to anybody else's voice. I'm not concerned about what anybody else has to say. I only hear your voice because you always lead me in the right direction. And that's got to be your prayer. Father, I only hear your voice. Because if you can get to the place where you quiet everybody else's voice in your life and his voice is the loudest voice in your life, you'll begin to make the right moves. You'll begin to make the right decisions. You'll begin to say the right things. And it's all based on I quieted everybody else's voice and I made his voice the biggest voice in my life. Does that make sense? Amen. All right. And so go with me to John 8 and 31. Y'all getting blessed? I'm excited. I mean, I've been excited all day. I really have. I've been excited all day. I couldn't wait to see y'all tonight. All right. John 8 and 31. You must have a discipline. A what class? A discipline to continue in the word against all opposition. You must have a discipline to continue in the word against all opposition. Can I just be honest with you? Sometimes when things don't go right, you know, and things start going wrong or all hell breaks loose or whatever, how everybody has their own cliches for it, you know, there sometimes, have you ever noticed when things go wrong and you start getting emotional, it's like the last thing you want to do is confess the word. Now, y'all can play me like that don't happen in your life, but you know it happens. But that is why you have to have a discipline that no matter what comes, no matter what goes, I'm always going to confess the word. I'm always, you know, it doesn't matter what it is. Do you understand? I'm always going to confess the word. I thank God for my wife. That is my covenant partner. You understand? That is my prayer partner. That is the one that's going to keep me right. Now, Pastor does not have a problem not confessing the word, but I'm here to tell you, if she ever heard me say anything out of my mouth that was not the word, sister girl, everybody say sister girl. Sister girl is going to let me know. No, we don't talk like that. We walk by and not by. So we're not moved by what we see, only by what we believe. And a lot of times the reason we're in a situation and it takes us longer than it seems like it should is because we don't have a discipline to continue in the word. We get emotional. We do this. We do that. We do that. We do that. We see it doesn't work. And then we come all the way back around to the word. When had we just stayed with the word, we'd have gotten through it quicker. Does that make sense? All right. Y'all quiet. That must mean I'm preaching. That must mean I'm all in your Kool-Aid and know the flavor. John 8 and 31. If you're there, say I'm there. All right, listen to this. Then said Jesus. Who said it?
Jesus.
All right, if it's in red, it's what Jesus said. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye do what class?
Continue.
He says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. I love verse 32. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. I like to read it like this. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth that you know is going to make you free. You got it? Teaching, that's what I'm doing, without application is what you're supposed to do after you hear the word. You got it? Teaching with no application will produce devastation in our lives. Does that make sense? That's why the writer said you can't be just a hearer of the word, but you have to be a doer. And so I have to continue in the word. My continuance develops discipline. All right? Me sticking with the word and sticking with the word. And I see it working. You got it? Because the word is going to work if you work the word. So my continuance develops discipline. Discipline is enforced obedience. That is our definition for discipline. It is enforced obedience. Paul said, I buffet my body. In other words, I discipline my body. My body doesn't tell me what it's going to do. I tell my body what it's going to do. Isn't that right? Yeah. So discipline is enforced obedience. Discipline is a commitment to continue in the word. That's what discipline is. It is a commitment to continue in the word. And discipline is also a matter of my confidence. Everybody say my confidence. My confidence is in the accuracy of God's word. That's where my confidence is. The reason why I stick with this and I'll always stick with this is because God's word has always been and will always be accurate. He says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, who I was, I still am. What I did, I still do. If I spoke it, I'm going to bring it to pass. We serve a God that cannot lie. The writer didn't say he will not lie. The Bible says that he cannot lie. There's a difference between something you cannot do and something you will not do. Isn't that right? Yeah. And so, you know, it's, you know, if, Benny, how much money you got? No. Okay, in your pocket, in your pocket, right now, do you have $10,000? No. Okay, so watch this. So if I ask him right now to give me $10,000, it's not whether he wills to or not. You understand? Has nothing to do with his will at that moment. Because he might say, well, Pastor, I wish I could. You know, if I could, I'd give you 10 grand right now. You understand what I'm saying? Has nothing to do with that. It's not that he wills not. He cannot. You understand what I'm saying? Like at this moment, he does not have the ability to. You got it? The Bible says that it's not that God will not lie. He cannot lie. He does not have the ability to lie. So every promise you see in the Word of God is for you, and God cannot lie about it. Does that make sense? You got it? So are we the healed?
Yes.
He cannot lie about that. Are we the blessed?
Yes.
He cannot lie. And so you got to get it made up in your mind. You have to have a conviction. Now, man, this is shouting stuff all by itself. I could get up and run 3 laps all by myself, and if nobody said anything, I'd be all right. I'd be like, woo, thank you, Jesus. No, because I serve a God that cannot lie. People lie, but God cannot lie. Bosses lie, but God cannot lie. Family members lie, but God cannot lie. You understand? And I'm so glad that I serve a God that cannot lie, because I understand that I'm in covenant with the creator of a universe that's always going to be consistent in my life. Does that make sense? So if he says he knows the thoughts he thinks toward you, he cannot lie. He cannot lie. Jesus. Philippians 1 and 28. He cannot lie. You are the head and not the tail. You are the healed, resisting sickness and disease. You are the redeemed of the Lord, and whatever you say is so. He cannot go against his word. In Malachi, I'm glad I'm sitting down. I look at it in my sanctified imagination that God is sitting on his throne, right? And he got his hands crossed just like this. And he makes this declaration. I am the Lord, and I change not. I'm not moved. I ain't changing. When all that stuff came out a couple years ago and everybody was getting frantic about the rules and regulations of same-sex marriage and it's going to cause the church to do this and do that, you know, everybody's getting into frenzy, pastors getting into frenzy. God, he was just like this. He's the way he always been. I'm the Lord, and I change not. You got it? No, because he is truth. He's not just truth. He's absolute truth. And where there's absolute, opinions don't matter. You have opinion about same-sex marriage, and you got an opinion about same, but it don't matter what anybody thinks. You got it? Because we don't abide by your truth or my truth. We abide by absolute truth, the God who cannot lie and does not change his mind. I'm teaching better than you shouting amen up in here. Does that make sense? And y'all know I'm not hating on nobody. I'm not homophobic or anything like that, but I'm just saying, either we're going to stick with the word or we're not. And I made up in my mind when all that stuff happened. People are like, we're going to lose our 501c. You can have my 501c3. No, I'm serious. You can have. No, people are like, you know, because preachers are like, hey, doc, what you going to do, doc? What you going to do, doc? I'm like, what you talking about? They say if somebody walk up in there, you don't marry them, they're going to take your 501c, and then you're going to have to pay taxes. I just pay taxes. Because nobody's going to control what we will or will not do. We're going to follow truth until the end. And we live in a society now where everybody, even Christians, want to start maneuvering to the left and maneuvering toward the right, you understand, trying to be careful because we live in it. I don't know why I'm going down this road, but I'm just going to go. I got 2 minutes to teach it out anyways, that we live in this society where everybody's so sensitive. So what are you going to do, Pastor? I'm going to tell them the truth with their sensitive self. No, because my thing is this. Do you all not realize we're going to have to stand before God one day? And my God is not going to say to me, James, what have you done, James? He's not going to do that. He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So you better make up your mind. But as for me and my house, oh, my God, today, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to do it God's way. And if we do it God's way, we're going to get God's results. It's 7:59. I am out of time. Well, we might as well read the scripture, Philippians 1 and 20, because it goes.